This week on the program, we have Lowell Dean, the writer-director of the Canadian sensation Wolf Cop, and we also say goodbye to 2016 and hope that no one will ever, ever bring it up again.
This is the Ron Pertee Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the final program of 2016, episode 154 with Lowell Dean, the writer-director of the Canadian sensation Wolf Cop. Love that movie. If you haven't checked it out, head over to Netflix. Definitely give it your time. It's worth it. Don't want to take up too much time beforehand. I just want to thank everybody who's listened and put up with giant breaks and indecisions and everything like that, and you guys mean the world to me. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at RealRonPertee, and if you feel the compulsion to show your appreciation for the program, don't forget to head over to patreon.com/RonPertee, and even for as little as $1 a month, you can help make the show better, and I'll love you for it with all of my heart, and I got a big heart. We'll get to Lowell Dean in just a second. I just want to talk real quick about 2016 and how much this year sucked. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, Ron, really? I mean, there are other years that sucked worse. Yeah, but this one affected a lot of people. It didn't just affect people who are fans of celebrities. I had three different friends who lost parents. You're going to tell them that this wasn't a shitty year for them? I dare you. But overall, this year has just been crap. And I'm not going to talk about who we just lost today, because there's still a few days left in the year, and something else could happen. Just know that we're losing big ones now. At a very young age. And it sucks. Sucks for anybody to pass on, regardless of their status. Although some people should go before others, but yeah. But that's that. And now let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to Lowell Dean, writer, director of Wolf Cop. Hopefully this will bring up our spirits. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Audible.com. For a 30-day trial and free audiobook, head to audibletrial.com/Ron Show. That's audibletrial.com/Ron Show for your 30-day trial and free audiobook today.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. With me right now is Lowell Dean. He's the director of a little film that I love so much called Wolf Cop. Which I'm hoping the sequel will be out soon. Yes, Lowell? Yes?
Yes, here's hoping very soon. It's done, I can say that much. We're just doing the final stages of post-production, things like, ADR and laying in the music. So it's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. I'd say it's more like a couple months versus a year.
Now, I read somewhere that it had a screening at South by Southwest or something.
We screened a rough cut at Fantastic Fest.
Ah, yes, Fantastic Fest. Yes.
Yeah, which was amazing. It was really, I was nervous about screening a rough cut with temp music and things like that, but you do not turn down the chance to go to Fantastic Fest.
No, you never do. You never do. Let's go backwards now that we've. This is one of the filmmaking tropes I hate. Is like you start at what's going on right now, and then you go back about 10 hours. To tell you what's going on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Let's go back to what was the first horror film you ever saw?
Oh God, that's a tough one. I mean, would the Jaws movies count?
Sure.
Okay, well then I would definitely say it was probably something like Jaws 3.
Is that the one with the Quaid brother?
Yes, it was. With Dennis Quaid in the underwater water park or something like that.
Oh, with Louis Gossett Jr.
Yep. That was the one. I mean, I don't remember if that was for sure the first horror film, but that's one of the first things I remember being like, what the hell is happening? I am very frightened.
It was a slasher in the water, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it was. And then from there, did you start making like little Super 8 movies, like a lot of people did, or?
Yeah, I was more like the generation of like the mini DV and the digital 8 cameras and the VHS cams. So the quality is amazing. But no, it was I was definitely from an early age doing fight scenes and horror films, and I remember my parents being worried because I was always taking the ketchup and covering my friends as if it was blood.
It's like, what are you doing with the Heinz? We need that for the Kraft dinner.
Exactly.
Yes, I know I'm one of those weirdos that puts ketchup on my macaroni and cheese. I outed myself. Now, when Wolf Cop is cool because it won the, I'm trying to remember what it's called, the Cineplex.
Cineku,
yes.
Accelerator, yes.
Now, how did that come about? We'll get into like the genesis of Wolf Cop, but I wanted to touch on this because this is something that we don't really have down here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you will soon. I know that they've been looking to expand, but the basic idea is, it came at a perfect time for myself and the team I was working with, because I was inspired by things like how, you know, you hear like mythic tales of how they got movies like Evil Dead made. You know, they'd shoot a short film or a concept trailer, and then they'd use that to try and get funding. So myself and some friends, very aware of the potential pratfalls of a movie called Wolf Cop and how people might misinterpret what it could be for, you know, various directions, I said that we have to do a concept trailer that shows that A, it's trying to be dark, but B, it has a sense of humor. So we shot a concept trailer over a weekend, and we were using it to approach anyone and everyone. You know, people who, we were looking for investors, we were looking for, funding from government bodies, which we did not have much success with. And basically, around that time, we were researching, you know, ways to finance our film, and then one of us came across Cineku online, and it was kind of a too good to be true scenario. They were looking for everything that we had been organically preparing to sell other investors. So we entered Cineku, and it's basically like the way I always, the simplest comparison I can give is it's like American Idol for filmmaking. You know, you have to have a concept, you have to be ready with a script, you have to have a trailer, and we had all these things, and then you share it with the world, and the world can vote, and Cineku, the people involved in that, can vote, and at the end of 3 months, you're on a stage basically explaining to industry professionals why they should pick your film over the others.
It's a movie about a guy who turns into a werewolf and gets stronger the drunker he gets. Where's my money?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, in the Coles Notes version, is that's basically what we said on stage. Yeah, we basically said. Now, and we had no idea. I mean, Canadian cinema has a long history of, they do have a storied history of making weird, wacky horror films. But at the time Cineku came around, I was convinced we were not going to be selected because we were so weird. I thought Canadian cinema is often very quiet and subdued and serious and refined and classy. And I was like, guys, no, like I was saying to my team, just anticipate that we are going to be making this movie on our own after this, and this will just give us good exposure because it's called Wolf Cop. But luckily, Cineku, I think that's what they really were jazzed by, the idea that we were so weird.
Well, I mean, you got to also look at it. There's been, like, look at some of the films coming out of Canada. Hobo with a Shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
The Final Sacrifice. I don't know if you want to go that deep into a cut. You know, Rosdauer. You know, that's not exactly classy cinema. Not that I'm saying it, stuff that comes out of the States is high art and ready for con, but, you know, because we've got some, you know, like you said, Evil Dead. That's not, going back and looking at that movie now, you're just like, wow, this is supposed to be scary? Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, boy, what are you going to do? But, so, now, the genesis of Wolf Cop, let's get back to that. Is it something that just kind of came to you, or have you had this idea for years? How did that all come about?
I just kind of, I've always loved weird things, and I've done a lot of weird short films, and always I would say, I guess, verging on quirky, a very weird sense of humor. I love over-the-top violence. You know, you mentioned Evil Dead. Things like that were a big influence on me. I didn't think you had to do just one or the other. And I was always drawn to horror, but I also am very drawn to comedy. And there's always these beliefs, and I'm being told it often, even to this day, by people that, you know, you've got to do one or the other. It's got to be scary or it's got to be funny. And I look at movies that I love, like Scream, and I'm like, you can totally do both. And for Wolf Cop, I was picturing, I mean, the genesis, if I'm being like thinking really hard, is I think I remember it being around the time of Twilight and seeing one of the Twilight films and just being like, this is the werewolf for the modern generation. And kind of going on a rant about what I remember of when I was a kid, you know, there was like Teen Wolf and the Wolfman and American Werewolf in London. Where's the guy in the suit? And I don't want to see like some ripped shirtless teen running and transforming into a CGI wolf. So I was kind of on a bender of like really wanting to make a classic Wolfman and see the man in the suit and not just hide him in the shadows and let him kick ass. And I kind of quickly got a fully formed vision in my head of who Wolf Cop was and what he did and how awesome it would be to see him doing anything and everything. And that was it.
So you went in knowing this was going to be, while it was dark and while it was funny, you knew going in this was going to be over the top.
Oh, yeah. Like even in our concept trailer, I think we have him basically, you know how there's always the scene in the superhero movie, which is kind of my basis with superhero cinema, of, you know, there's a moment where someone's in peril and you need to save them or you need to save him or her. And where's the hero? And Superman runs to the phone booth. And I thought, well, he's a drunk cop, so he'll run into the urinal. You know, that'll be his thing. And then he'll pop out just in time. But I also, you know, I'm a big superhero nerd. So I thought, rather than great power, great responsibility, I thought, how awesome would it be to see someone who, you know, Wolverine's always so meticulous with those claws. I know in the new one, he probably won't be because it's rated R. But I was also like very frustrated that characters like that could exist in film and not do what they were born to do. So,
oh, right. Definitely.
Like, you know, I wanted to see a wolf cop walk into a bar and just rip people to shreds and then go for in our concept trailer, rather than go and help the damsel up. He picks up a beer and chugs it. So I thought that was a pretty clear indicator of what the character would be.
I love this movie so much. I think I've seen it like 4 times.
Awesome.
Now, let's get into production a little bit. It's pretty obvious you guys did a lot with practical effects as opposed to CGI.
Yeah.
And you were working on what I think a lot of people would call now an indie budget.
Definitely.
What were a lot of the issues with using practical effects on an indie budget?
I mean, it's funny you ask that question because like I think a lot of people assume practical effects are harder, but for me they are a savior. You know, I mean, the effects artist of the film is one of my best friends, so we are talking and planning to the shot months before we're even there. So I mean, I've had a history with practical effects, and it can be, if it's not thought out, it can be a nightmare. But if it is thought out, it's so comforting, because anytime I've had to rely on digital effects in my career, because I am at an indie level, it's so scary. That's far more scary to me, because you don't know what's going to happen. It could be 6 months later, your VFX artist could quit. They could change their mind. I mean, it can be wonderful, but when you're on set and you see a practical effect, you know it works. You know, there's no like, oh, I don't know. It either works or it doesn't, and you know exactly in that moment. And if it doesn't work, then you know, maybe you're screwed, or you can brainstorm backup plans. But the best part about practical effects is you see it and it works. And I mean, I guess to your question, the downside is you have to wait a few minutes for things. Sometimes they don't work right away. You have to brainstorm. But again, it's like any filmmaking problem, especially on an indie film, you have a million in a day. And I will take practical effects on an indie budget over a digital any day, because I mean, I guess if I was partnered with an amazing wizard, a VFX wizard, I'd feel more confident in it. But I love being on set and just knowing we're safe. We've got it. It looks great.
And that leads me to my next question when it comes to, you know, things looking great, is the Wolf Cop comic book. How did this come about? Because I'm all caught up now. I have a short box full of comics I'm trying to catch up on. And that I I had to go hunting down the first issue, but I got it, and I binge read them both. And not like a, you know, I'm making it sound like it takes forever to read two comic books, but where did that come from? Is that something that they approached you on, or something that you wanted to do?
Well, it's funny. When we entered Cineku, part of what they look for, I mean, I think they knew from the start, they were looking for an entrepreneurial spirit. So over the course of the 3 months when you're in Cineku, they give you various challenges. And those challenges consist of basically retrofitting your project and figuring out how it would fit into a bigger marketplace. And again, we didn't know at the time, but a big part of what they were looking for was, are these projects franchisable? Are they things that have offshoots beyond the screen, you know, beyond the 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes on screen? So what we did is, again, thinking of Wolf Cop as a superhero, I think part of the thing that they loved about us was when they said, well, how would you market this film? And in addition to, you know, we didn't even look at film festivals. We're like, Wolf Cop is a thing that would go to Comic Cons and fan expos. And because of that, if you gave us carte blanche to do anything to promote this project, we would do action figures, we would do comic books, and we would do video games. And those were the three bucket list things that I was really hoping we'd get to do with Wolf Cop. And so far, we've done two of three, which is amazing.
What's the other, comic books, and what's the other one?
Well, we have a very sweet action figure for Wolf Cop. It's a little pricier and a little bigger, but I mean, it's more like a collectible.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like the Star Wars action figures, but I do, my next hope is that we did like a standalone Wolf Cop that looks amazing on a shelf, but I don't really play with mine. But if we could do more, I'd love to do like a series of like, you know, Tina, Wolf Cop, Willie, a bunch of other characters.
That would be awesome. That would, yeah. And you get like you get Lou with his when in normal form with the pentagram on his chest. That would be cool, but that's
that
kind of
so fun.
Yeah, that's reaching those what do you call it, those statue that come out that are so expensive.
Yeah, and I think it's a barrier to entry, so I'm not going to say have cheaper toys, but I'd rather have you know, the smaller action figure style and maybe do like 6 to 10 or something.
That would be awesome. And one thing I do have to say is I did love the fact that Lou's name, full name, is a rough translation to werewolf.
Yeah, not many people get that. They just think that's a weird name. But I was raised, I'm Canadian, and I took French immersion all through school. So I always loved the French word for werewolf, which was loup-garou. And I'm a big fan of horrible puns. So when it came time to name Wolf Cop, that I knew that before I even had a script. It'd be Lou.
That's awesome. Now let's get into another Wolf Cop. I love the poster for it. I was talking to a friend of mine. I showed it to him. He's like, "Oh, that's just like that one movie." And he couldn't think of it. I'm like, "You mean Cobra?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I cannot wait." Now, can you give my listeners a small little taste of the plot for another Wolf Cop?
Sure. Another Wolf Cop picks up a couple months after the first film. The first film takes place, I would say, around October, Halloween-y drink-and-shoot time. And another Wolf Cop takes place around Christmas. So it's a Christmas film, and we're 2 months later, and Lou is now definitely Wolf Cop. The town is starting to pick up on it. People are starting to ask questions, suspect things. Also, half the town's infrastructure has gone missing. You know, the mayor, the previous chief. A lot of people have died. So Tina Walsh is now the chief of police, and she's trying to keep the community under wraps and keep Wolf Cop under wraps. And he's not making it easy. He needs to be a Wolf Cop. He's loving, for the first time in his life, he's loving what he is and who he can, you know, who he can be. So that's kind of where we are when the movie starts. And it's a Christmas film, and the basic idea is a new person comes to town, a businessman, who promises to reopen the brewery, and he's going to take Woodhaven out of their horrible, horrible situation, start creating jobs, create a new hockey team, and really turn this town around. And Tina and Lou know that this is probably going to be trouble.
Well, Lou can probably smell it on him.
Exactly.
And when you said, now you said months instead of years, do you have, if you could throw out an estimate of when this is going to be out there for the general public to see, Wendy, when would you you think?
Well, the thing is, I'm always so trepidatious about giving a date, because if you remember at the end of Wolf Cop 1, it says Wolf Cop 2 coming 2015. So,
yeah.
which is now, I think, kind of adorable that it's on there. But if I had to guess, I would say at the latest, late 2017, at the earliest, I'm hoping, you know, we're going to have some kind of release in the next 3 months. I mean, we had a festival screening. It'll depend on if we do more of a festival run, if we can get into a few festivals, and or if someone, you know, if a distributor outright buys it and says, I want to put it on Netflix or whatever in the next 3 months. It could be really soon.
That would be awesome. I can see it playing Cannes. Why not?
Yeah. Wait, why not?
Why the hell? Exactly.
Yeah, I think it'll be, I would be shocked if it's not out come summer. It'll just be because of a release strategy and not because it's not ready.
That's so fantastic. That is, I cannot wait for this movie. And I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy, busy day to sit down and talk with us about Wolf Cop and the comic and everything. The one more thing, though, is any update on maybe a video game? Because you said you had those three things.
Yeah, I mean, not yet. We are, I mean, for all the grand ambition of our crew and of Cineku, it is a pretty small outfit. So we kind of have to take things one at a time. But getting that Dynamite comic was amazing, you know, and I wasn't really involved in the comic, but I know you kind of asked about it, and it was just like a bucket list thing, and it's really, really exciting to me that it exists, and I'm hoping people, I'm hoping it does well for Dynamite, and that they realize that this is a cool character, because right now it's only slated for the three issues, the third one comes out late December, but I would love nothing more than to have an ongoing run and actually get deeper into some stories and have some serialized storytelling happening.
That would be awesome. And what about a Wolf Cop X Cop crossover?
I mean, all I'm going to say is go to Dynamite's webpage, Dynamite Entertainment, and look at the other properties they have. And I got to imagine that spinoffs or crossovers would be possible. I think that'd be amazing.
That'd be great. I would love that so much. Isn't Green Hornet a Dynamite property?
I believe they are. I believe Army of Darkness is also there.
Oh. I know. Just put that in your heads, kids. I think we should just start tweeting at Dynamite. Tell them that you want to see Ash and Wolf Cop in a crossover. Holy shit. That's all I'm going to say.
I know. It writes itself.
It does. You know what? Use this hashtag, Army of Wolf Cop. There you go.
There you go.
Hashtag Army Wolf. Now, where can folks follow you on Twitter?
I'm on there. My handle is Lolofilm, LOLOFILM. And I'm, you know, I try and get on at least once a day and talk to people, especially anybody who's watching Wolf Cop or giving us a shout out. I love to interact with people.
Well, that's the way you keep keep people coming back, I think. You got to interact with them in some way. You got to have a kind of a social presence now. It's not like the days of Citizen Kane.
No, you didn't see a lot of tweets back then about, like, a Rosebud.
Yeah, hashtag Rosebud. What? What are you talking about? Oh, well, what are you going to do? Lowell, it's been fantastic, and we'll definitely have to have you back on when another Wolf Cop comes out.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, it shouldn't be too much longer, and I will announce the second I know online.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So that's it, folks. That's the last episode for 2016. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And I don't know. Do I want to be that guy that says, let's hope 2017's better? Because what really changes? Nothing. The calendar. Your ability to write the proper year on your checkbook. Just stuff like that changes, really. That's about it. Nothing big. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens in near the end of the month, but I'm not going to get political. I'll try not to. Don't forget to head over to Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at RealRonPertee, and leave a positive rate and review on iTunes and Stitcher and all other forms of podcastery that you get the program at. And if you're feeling generous and you like what you hear and you want to continue to hear what you're hearing for for free, head over to patreon.com/RonPertee, and for as little as a dollar a month. I feel like I should be standing in front of a starving African child when I bring up Patreon. I really do. But it helps improve the show and make everything better. So please feel free to head over there, and even a little bit helps. Even a little bit. So, first show of the year. Who are we going to have on? Why? First show of the year, we're going to have on someone who is an old friend, an old hat, if you will, of the Ron Pertee Show. That's right. Trace Beaulieu from the Mads are back. And from Movie Sign with the Mads, the new podcast he's got going on. And MST3K, Cinematic Titanic, Vermin, we're going to talk about it all. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Great way to kick off the year. And I hope that you have a safe and happy holiday, New Year, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. Just don't do anything stupid. That's what I usually do. Something very stupid. So, have yourself a good year, and we'll see you in 2017, folks. Have a good one.
When we could be diving for pearls.